usually the guards on gap plays like that doing it, but you can hold at the backside and then you're one-on-one with the defensive end. And then if it all goes well, Jimmy would be one-on-one with the safety and I'm choosing Jimbo. So there's a lot of variety you could do out of it and just works well with our personnel.
How do you approach this game like every other one, the same way you've done all the rushing this year, when you know what happens, what's on the other side of a win this week?
I mean, I'm not trying to think too much about the wins and loss right now, what happens and what doesn't. I'm just trying to think about Sunday and being the best we can be for our teammates and hope it all goes well.
Do you entertain any ideas or thoughts about what it would be like to win?
It's either going to be super celebration party or me in a 24-pack by myself. So that was the two ends of the spectrum.
Spencer, what could you learn from watching this game last time in week 11, you know, and watching Ryan out there and watching what happened? I know this is you've played teams for the first time before, but you actually saw them from a different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, when that was all going on, believe it or not, I'm only watching Vandy and the defensive end or what he's doing. And yep. I mean, I'm up in the box, but I can kind of guess on play call and down distance and stuff like that. So for me, it was just legit a moment to sit back and just watch, which I think that's beneficial in its own way. But, you know, I've also played these guys a couple times. So I know the personnel, we know the game plan, and just go out there and execute and go from there.
How much can a guy like Chris Jones really impact what you do, whether you're lined up from him or not, just kind of knowing where he is every play?
Yeah, he's just a game wrecker, you know, all pro for however many years, and I think the best D-tackle in the game. And if you can take a D-tackle from inside, three-tech or nose or whatever he's doing, then line him outside on a five on their pass down. A lot of tackles, myself included, that brings a different challenge to the game. So just preparing for that, going back and watching what I did against him when he did line up previous times, and pray.
You get a lot of
how they use like what was being said outside as motivation. How much do you guys use that and balance like listening to it versus kind of tuning it out?
I think you know, there's nothing that Coach McDermott puts up there is not like Emmanuel Ocho said this or someone else said that. You know, there's nothing like that going on, but me, just like everybody else, I'm sure we see it in passing, and you can internalize that and be upset or use that as fuel. And I think we have the right guys in the locker room that do use that as fuel, and they won't say it out loud, but we know what's being said. That's fine. People can be right, people can be wrong, but we're just gonna stick to what we do.
Sean, talk about this. Go ahead.
Sean said today that you can't win when you play scared to lose. What does that mean to you, knowing where you've been in the past?
That kind of falls into I think it was Dan Orlovsky that quoted it, but Jimmy Johnson said that you lose more playoff games than you win. And I think that's just playing free and relying on your technique. Like, oh, it's the AFC Championship game, let's do something out of the ordinary. Is that something? Or maybe you give too much effort and penalty or blocking the back, or you're just playing instead of controlled and poised, you're playing out of control, your heart rate's going 1,000 miles an hour. So it's all about taking a breath and realizing, I don't know what game this is for us, but we've done this how many times, so just go out there and treat like another game. Don't treat like the AFC Championship game and all your dreams are up here or they could be down here. Like, I'm not thinking about that, I'm just thinking about executing on Sunday.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. A couple more. Sean talked about the offensive line having a brotherhood that, and you know, maybe weren't spread around in the rest of the locker room. Can you describe what that brotherhood is like, why it's a unique group? I know you guys get along real well.
I think that's just for, you know, offensive line group. You know, not a lot of credit out there. Either people love you, and if they do love you, you're not talked about. And if they hate you, everybody's going to know. So, I mean, I think we just have a good group of five that work together. We have our own personalities within the group. They all just mesh really well, and we all communicate really well. So, super easy out there. Like, it's never miscommunication or screaming match, line scrimmage. Just point there, all right, perfect, and everyone else just disperses and figure it out. But, yeah, we work really well.
Is there anything, like a moment or a part of the season where you kind of clicked with you that this was going to be a really good group in terms of whether it's communication or brotherhood or whatever you want to point to as the thing that stands out the most?
I can't think of like one certain scenario, but I think it's just the games we have stacked up on our resume for this year and how we executed together. And if something run game wasn't going great and we got to go to pass, all right, we're all pass blocking. We know what it is. And or if it's, hey, 4 minute, we got to run the clock out. We know what it is. And we're very situational with that. And it just doesn't really matter what this scenario is for us five and Chrome. We'll handle it if something needs to switch. Or, hey, we installed the front play last training camp, but we're going to run it this half. Like, all right, perfect. Put it up on the board one time. Got it. And we just go from there. So, and there's never any confusion or anything like that. We're on the same page.
How tough can that be in an environment like Arrowhead, making those communications, those checks, and obviously relying a little bit more on hand signals or whatever?
I think that's you know, I've the only guy that's been sat out for 2 years straight here. We've had the same cohesion, everything like that. And when you get in scenarios like Arrowhead and in the playoffs when it's going to be loud, they're doing the chant. I mean, communication is still there, but it's limited. And then that's where all your communication from where it was calm, cool, collected, we know all it's on the same page. That's when it snaps into just instinct for everybody else. And it can be limited, but we're all going to be on the same page.
Last year, we talked a lot about Osiris never missing a snap. Mm-hmm. This year, maybe just about his consistency, I guess, from year one to year two. You don't see that a lot of times with guys. What have you seen from him this year?
He's a unicorn. Yeah, like just his body, the way he uses it, the way he's built, and to go out there and with the technique that he has, I can't do half the stuff that he does. I mean, he's just big and overwhelming, and he's grounded as ever. And I'm super happy to have him playing next to me. I think he's given up one sack in 2 years, and I don't think I went backwards on a double team since he started next to me. So he's definitely the anchor on the right side for sure.